everybody. Welcome to our service. We're just praying that the sense of God, of God's presence is going to invade every home, every inch, every corner of your house. You're going to sense His goodness, His grace, His power, His presence, His hope, His peace in your life. All right? So stand up and get ready. Let's sing this hymn together.
And all hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail Him who saves you by His grace and crown Him Lord of all. Hail Him who saves you by His grace and crown Him Lord of all.
All right, sing after me. Praise Him from the heavens. Oh, praise Him in the heights up above. Praise Him, all of His angels. And praise Him, all of His heavenly hosts. Oh, praise Him. Oh, you sun and moon, and all of you shining stars, praise Him from above. Oh, praise Him, oh, you highest heaven, together with one mighty voice, praise the name of the Lord. sing like this.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done.
One more time, say,
praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done.
Amen. What a blessing to just declare that He is good and to give Him thanks and give Him glory. I remember one sermon long ago, and Pastor Mark was talking about how we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I just didn't really know exactly what that meant. He just said, basically what it is we want to have what's going on in heaven right now be what's going on earth through us right here, right now. And this next song we're going to do is a prayer that through our lives and through our worship, the worship of heaven, the love and unity of heaven, all those things, the beauty of heaven would come as we praise Him even now. That's our prayer. We want to be kingdom bringers. Amen. Amen.
Let it be,
let it be
here on earth,
here on earth,
as it is now in heaven. Let your kingdom come. Perfect love,
perfect love,
perfect peace,
perfect peace,
all I want in your presence. Let your kingdom come and start with us as we choose to forgive. Reign in us, let the healing begin. Let it be. Here on earth, as it is now in heaven, let your kingdom come. For thine is the kingdom, for thine is the power.
With me, say,
let it be,
let it be
here, on earth,
here on earth
as it is now in heaven. Let your kingdom come.
Broken lives,
all made whole, wayward souls coming home. Let your kingdom come.
Sing it, Eileen.
Let justice.
Let your kingdom come. Let it come. Let it come. kingdom come through us. Let your glory flow through us, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Perfect love, perfect peace, all I want in your presence. Let your kingdom come.
Say it, let your kingdom come.
Oh yes, let your kingdom come.
Now and forever.
Let your kingdom come.
Eileen's gonna lead us.
And we pour out all our worship. We pour out all our love. We pour out all we have on the feet of our Lord. We pour out all our worship. We pour out all our love. We pour out all we have on the feet of our Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, and we pour out. We pour out all our worship. We pour out all our love. We pour out all we have on the feet of our Lord. Yes, we do. We pour. Sing it out. fragrance arise of our praise, of our surrender, of our love, of our worship. Oh, let it rise, worthy one, worthy one.
I just sense the power of God's worthy Spirit, the power one. Of God's presence in this place. Worthy, I believe it's radiating one. To your house, to your home, worthy to your family, one. Even now. Turn it up, make it even louder. Can we sing that holy again?
Yeah. Oh, holy, you're so holy, Jesus.
Wow, what a powerful moment in worship we've been able to experience together. Would you join me in prayer so that we can conclude this worship time? Father, we thank you for being with us. Wherever we might be watching this online service, whether we're in our homes and in our cars, in our coffee shop, wherever we might be watching, would you continue to bless us, Lord? Thank you for the ability to worship you. Thank you for reminding us that you are altogether lovely, altogether wonderful to us, Lord. And so we thank you now. Ask that you would continue to move in our lives and in our hearts as we turn our hearts and attention to our teaching today. We ask this in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Well, welcome everyone. My name is Marvin, and I'm so glad that you've joined us for this worship service online today. If you're new or if you're visiting with us, I just want to extend a special welcome. Thank you for being with us. You can always go to our website, cachurch.com, or open our mobile app for more information, and there you can fill out a connection card so that we can get in touch with you and learn more about you. Question for you, are you in a life group yet? Life groups are small groups of people, and we gather in homes, in coffee shops, and online, and we do life together. We pray together. We study God's word. You can go online to see all of the available life groups so that you can join one as well. I want to tell you about an important ministry called our Stewardship Ministry, and this ministry is offering a free seminar entitled Estate Planning for Everyone. At this seminar, you're going to learn to be empowered to make important decisions that will impact your life, that will impact your loved ones, and of course, your legacy. So whether you are single, married, or retired, you can register for this seminar that covers topics such as living trust and how to protect your assets. We encourage you to continue giving online through our Christian Assembly LA app or on our website, and you can simply go on the website and click on the Give tab. And I just want to say thank you for your ongoing generosity. Before we hear Tom's message for today, which will be the concluding talk in our current series, I want to share with you some exciting news about our next series that will be entitled God is Blank. Each week, we're going to answer the question, what is God like? And we're going to let God himself fill in the blank with ways that he has revealed himself to us. We're going to see God as being holy, steadfast, just, our provider, loving, and so much more. So whether you are spiritually convinced or unconvinced, would you invite a friend and join us for this powerful 8-week series that will begin the weekend of October 9th and 10th. You can join us in person and, of course, online as well.
Hey, welcome everybody. I am so glad that you've chosen to join us for this time. If you're a visitor or guest, want to welcome you. Of course, to my CA family, great to be with you. If you are new, my name is Tom. I'm one of the pastors here. We have been in a series on winning the war in your mind. Change your thinking, change your life. In fact, it's based on a book by Pastor Craig Rochelle. This is the last week of the series. If you want to dig in deeper, I encourage you to get a copy of the book and you can read through it all the way through. God has designed your brain to be fearfully and wonderfully made in too many ways to list. But let me just give you just one as we get started. If you've ever heard someone say that we only use 10% of our brains, that's a lie. That's a myth. It's not true. We use almost all of our brain almost all of the time. In fact, this is fascinating. The brain represents only 2% of our body weight. But did you know that it uses an incredible 20% of our energy? So only 2% of our body weight uses 20% of our energy. And that's about 400 calories a day that our brain is using. So to put that into perspective for us all so that we can understand it, that means that your brain, just by thinking, burns off the equivalent of 2 donuts a day, right? If that's not a sign of the brain being fearfully and wonderfully made, just by thinking, burning off 2 donuts a day, I don't know what is, right? Now, don't go out and start a new diet eating 2 donuts a day, claiming that your pastor told you that it was a good thing to do. Well, each week in this series, we've been learning biblical principles backed by some of the latest neural research to help us be transformed by the renewing of our minds, as we're told by the book of Romans, as it tells us. In week one, we saw what was called the replacement principle: remove the lies, replace with truth. The second week, week two, we dug into the rewire principle. Rewire your brain, renew your mind. Last week, week three, we did the reframe principle. Reframe your mind to restore your perspective. And we come now to the final week of the series on how to win the war in our minds. So week number four, the principle is the rejoice principle. Revive your soul and reclaim your life. We're going to consider that, but before we do, let's pray. Well, God, we thank you that our entire body is fearfully and wonderfully made, but we do thank you in the amazing, wonderful ways that you've made our minds to work. But we come to you now, and we ask that you would help us by the power of your word and spirit to renew our minds, to renew the way that we think. We know that we can do this, because your word says that we can. And we ask your help, even here, even now, as we dig into this fourth and final principle, the rejoice principle. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, one of the verses that we've anchored this series in is from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, "Be careful how you think, for your life is shaped by your thoughts." So that means your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts, which is absolutely great news If you spend your time thinking about things that are noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or worthy of praise. But it's kind of bad news if you're thinking on the things that are dishonorable, wrong, impure, unlovely, fearful, worrisome, or just plain irrational. But the reality is that even the best people can have times when our thoughts take us to the darkest places. Consider, for example, the prophet Elijah from the Old Testament in the Bible, as we learn how God will help us with this rejoice principle so that we can revive our soul and reclaim our life. Elijah was a prophet in the Old Testament of the Bible who confronted the evil king Ahab about his sin and prophesied at the time about an impending drought that was going to come as a result of that. Well, King Ahab became infuriated and he threatened to kill Elijah. But the prophet Elijah managed to escape. Not only that, but at God's command, Elijah eventually confronted 850 false prophets of a false god. Finally, emerging victorious when God sends fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice that Elijah had laid on the altar. Now, with such a huge victory that just occurred, Elijah probably thought that would be the end of his problems, right? I mean, that would be kind of a normal way to think. But let me ask you, have you ever felt like a season of problems was just about done? Like you thought and felt like you could see the light at the end of the tunnel, only to have more problems waiting for you or the tunnel extended? If so, then you're going to be able to relate to Elijah. Because this evil king Ahab had an even more evil wife named Jezebel. These two were a match made in hell, literally. They were dead set against God, dead set against Elijah as the prophet of God. So Jezebel decides that if you want something done right, let a woman do it. And she thinks, well, my husband couldn't kill Elijah, but I will. And Elijah realizes that even such a great victory that he just experienced, that his life is now still in danger. And honestly, he couldn't believe it. It was too much for him. He was spent. He had had enough. He was exhausted. He was beyond the end of his rope. Have you ever felt like that? God, I can handle one problem or maybe even two. But when the problems come one after another, it just all gets to be too much. Stick a fork in me, I'm done. That's where Elijah is at in his thinking. And here's how 1 Kings in the Bible records it. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3 and onward says this. At this point, Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, Elijah left his servant there. And while he himself went a day's journey further into the wilderness, and he came to a broom bush and he sat down under it and he prayed that he might die. I had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. You see what's happening here? His runaway negative thoughts spiraled out of control and led him into a deep depression. And notice how irrational his thinking has become here, right? I mean, on one hand, his biggest fear was that Jezebel would kill him. And so what does he do? He wanted to die. It doesn't make sense. Why be afraid of Jezebel if she's just going to do what you wanted her to do anyways? But Elijah was not thinking clearly. He was at the end of his rope. He had hit the wall. He was done. He's finished, exhausted, over it, all of it. Have you ever been there? Reached a place where you feel like you literally cannot handle one more thing. I know I have. And that's where Elijah is. How does it happen? Well, of course, part of it is when we face problems and issues, right? It's rare to meet someone who thinks everything is amazing in their life and also feels at the end of their rope. That usually doesn't happen. So problems are part of the equation, but it's more than that. Here's the first point that I want us to remember that can happen to the best of us. We saw it happen right now with Elijah. Here's the point. When we fixate on the presence of problems, we lose our focus on the presence of God. God was with Elijah every step of the way. But pile on enough problems, and even a renowned prophet of God struggled with winning the war in his mind. And if it happens to a renowned prophet, it can happen to me, and it can happen to you too. The good news is that God knows where Elijah is and is about to send him some help. Well, here's how the story continues on in 1 Kings. It says, "Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, 'Get up and eat.' Elijah looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked hot over coals in a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again." You know, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do when you're at the end of your rope is eat a good meal and take a long nap. I mean, it sounds kind of funny, but this is actually how God has made our minds to work. Almost 20 years ago, I went to see a well-known psychologist who specialized in working with pastors. And I went to see him kind of for like some preventative help. I only asked him one question in our meeting. I just said this to him. I said, "Look, you've worked with pastors for years. If you had just one point of wisdom for me to serve faithfully for the long haul, what would it be?" And he thought about it for a bit. And after a few moments of quiet, this is what he said. He said, "Tom, pastors, police officers, firefighters, emergency room nurses and doctors all have callings that expose them to more trauma and emotional situations than many other people will experience in their entire life. And because of that, you must get more sleep than you think you need and guard your days off like your life depends on it, because it does." Well, as you might imagine, I came home after that meeting and I told my wife, "Hey, the psychologist told me that I need to sleep all the time. So, you know, I'm going to be taking a lot of naps along the way." But it's interesting because recent studies show that sleep helps repair our brain from the wear and tear of the day. In fact, one neurologist compared it to why road work is done at night, right? There's less cars on the road, making it easier to repair the roadway. It's kind of the same thing with our neural pathways. Fewer thoughts while we're sleeping allows your brain to do repair work in your mind. In fact, studies show that sleep is critical to helping your amygdala, which is the part of the brain that processes the emotions of anxiety, depression, disappointment, and fear. So after adequate time to sleep and eat, Elijah's story moves on. Elijah needed a reminder that God is near, and God is about to give him that reminder. Continues on, and it says this, "The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah?' Elijah, at this point in the story, recounts all of his problems to the Lord. In fact, he recounts them twice in the story to the Lord, including his feeling that he's all alone. And this brings me to the second point of the rejoice principle. Listen, if a problem is big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. As a pastor, one of the things that I've learned is a lot of people want to pray, but they feel intimidated. Growing up, I had a good relationship with my dad. I knew he loved me. I knew he was present in my life. He was always at my soccer games and such and at the dinner table. And of course, at times he disciplined me, but he did so lovingly. But it helped me to understand my heavenly father because I had such a loving biological father, an earthly father. Now, I know that my heavenly father is different than my earthly father. He's more powerful, more holy, more righteous, more perfect in all of those ways. But I also know that when Jesus taught his disciples to pray the prayer, it began, "Our Father." You see, prayer isn't about a technique or having an eloquent speech to say. It's about God our Father's love for us as we come to him in Jesus Christ. Listen, if it's on your mind, then it's on God's heart. So talk to him about it. Pray. Like a child coming to a father, you don't need to have eloquent words. And that's what Elijah does. He unloads all of his problems, all of his worrisome thoughts to God in prayer. And here's how God responds. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15, it says, "And the Lord said to him, 'Go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also, anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal," that was the name of this false, idolatrous, evil god, "and whose mouths have not kissed him." Now watch this, because this is going to tie into last weekend. God's answer to Elijah is reframing Elijah's mind to restore his perspective. The first part of God's answer that we just saw was pre-framing the future for Elijah. In essence, he's saying, "Look, this is how you're going to see my goodness." But the second part gently points out the facts to reframe the past. Elijah says to God, "I was all alone." But God essentially says, "Listen, I know you felt like that, but you are not all alone. I have 7,000 others who have not bowed to Baal." And it's worth noting, look at how God plans to help Elijah through specific people. You see, sometimes when we're at the end of our rope, we need to look for God at work through the people that he's put around us. Sometimes when we feel like life is at its darkest, simply knowing that we're not alone helps. Elijah learned a critical lesson that will help us too, which is this: my experience plus God's presence is more than enough. Elijah was at the end of his rope, but God met him there and sustained him and renewed him. You see, when your tank is empty, the good news is that we have a God who refills empty tanks and restores troubled souls. God helped Elijah by changing the way he was thinking with sleep, with a good meal, with replacing lies with the truth, with reframing his past and pre-framing his future on the goodness of God. I love how another prophet, Isaiah, says it in the lyric of a worship song that he records in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. It says, "You keep in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on you because they trust in you." I love that phrase, "whose mind is stayed on you." Let me ask you, what is your mind stayed on these days? I have a command for my dog when I want her to remain somewhere, and the command is stay. And depending on the situation, sometimes it only takes once for her to obey that. But other times, again, depending on the circumstances, she'll start to wander around, and I have to remind her, no, stay. And every time I do that, I think about our minds, because I think our minds are like that. Sometimes our minds stay on God. We tell them once, stay on God, and they stay focused on God. They think about God. They meditate on the goodness of God. But other times, if there's enough problems, if there's enough challenges, our minds and our hearts begin to wander. And that's when our spirit needs to tell our minds again, no, stay. And that's really what true worship is, right? Keeping our minds and hearts stayed on the goodness and the power and the grace of God. You see, we rejoice because of who God is, His character, His love, generosity, mercy, grace, wholeness, kindness, His all-knowingness, His all-powerfulness, His kindness, His justice, and much more. We rejoice because God has promised that He will never forsake us. As the Bible says in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, here it is, which transcends all understanding, will guard both your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It's fascinating what happens in our brains when we make the decision to have rejoicing become part of our lives through prayer and praise. Let me give you just a few examples. For example, Dr. Andrew Newberg is the director of research at the Thomas Jefferson Hospital and Medical College in Pennsylvania. His brain scan research is showing that worship and prayer is like a physical workout for your brain. In other words, not only does prayer touch the heart of God, but prayer actually renews your brain. In fact, a different cognitive neuroscientist named Dr. Caroline Leaf writes this, quote, studies show that just 12 minutes of daily prayer over an 8-week period of time can change the brain to such an extent that it can be measured on a brain scan. This type of prayer, she goes on to say, increases activity in the brain associated with social interaction, compassion, and sensitivity to others. It also increases the frontal lobe activity as focus and intentionality increase. And yet another different study shows that praising God in prayer leads to quantifiable changes in brain volume as well as metabolism. So if you want to have a bigger brain, apparently spend more time praising God in prayer. But what's interesting is the part of the brain that grows in volume is the part that is especially associated with compassionate thinking and feeling. In other words, 2,000 years ago, the Bible wrote about rejoicing and gentleness being intricately connected. And about 2 years ago, a brain scan study shows that's exactly how God designed our brains to work physically. Your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Daily prayer and daily singing of worship changes your brain, strengthening the parts of your brain that move your thoughts in a positive direction. And it's not just that. Praising God has been shown to decrease our heart rate, decrease our blood pressure, decrease our blood glucose levels, and serum markers for inflammation in our bodies also decline. The list could go on, but let me just kind of summarize it this way. If you took all of the measurable benefits to our brain and our body that result when we pray and when we praise God and we worship God, if we took all of that and put it in a pill form, it would be the best-selling drug on the planet. Just like Elijah had learned that his experience plus God's presence is more than enough, we can too. And as you unburden yourself, and as I unburden myself to our good, good Heavenly Father, thanking Him for all He's done, praising Him, as we do that, why? We do it because of who He is and because of what He's done. And because of what he's promised to do, and because recognizing God's presence will give you peace when you think you have cause to panic. Because when we've had enough, God is more than enough. When your tank is empty, he can fill it back up to overflowing. When your mind is wandering, he can help you stay it on his goodness. God's word tells us that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now, how are we going to do that? By using the four principles that God has given us. We'll replace the lies that we believe with God's truth. That's principle number one, the replacement principle. We'll create new trenches of truth as we internalize God's way of thinking from his word in a repeated way. That's the rewire principle. We will make the goodness of God our lens, our cognitive bias. That's the reframe principle. And we will change our perspective through prayer and praise. That's the rejoice principle. Decide today that you will not think like the rest of the world. That you will let God renew your mind. That you will take every thought captive to Christ. You see, in Christ, you are not controlled by fear. You are not stuck. You are not a slave to your old habits. You are not unworthy of love. Your best days are not behind you. You are not your past. You are not what you did. You are not what someone else did to you. You are not who your unhealthy thoughts say you are. God is not far away. God is near. You are who God says you are. In Christ, you are loved, you're forgiven, you are new, you are redeemed, you are free. You are a weapon of righteousness in a world of unrighteousness. God is with you. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. And God is more than enough for you. Nothing will ever separate you from God's love. Not death, not demons, not the present, not the past. Nothing will ever separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus the Lord as you come to Christ. With God, you will win the war in your mind. He will give you a sound mind, a clear mind. Let God change your thinking. And thought by thought, day by day, he will change your life. Let's pray. In a moment, we're going to come to this communion table. But if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to do that now. You can just say, God, I'm coming to you. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross so that I could be forgiven. Forgive me of my sins. Maybe there's particular sins that are coming to mind that you need to confess to God. God's word tells us that if we confess our sins to him, that because of what Christ has done on the cross, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You can be cleansed right now, forgiven right now. Just say, Christ, would you forgive me and give me your Holy Spirit? Make me new from the inside out. Change my thinking, renew my mind. Give me a soft heart towards you and towards other, tender that wants to know you and obey you. Listen, if you're placing your faith in Jesus Christ right now, I want to welcome you to the family of God. I want to encourage you to let us know, let some other Christians that you might know about that decision. Your first step will be to be baptized. In fact, if you did make that decision, you're now welcome at this table of communion when we come to it in a moment. Others of you, maybe you just feel at the end of your rope, like Elijah did. Ask God to help you, to renew you. God's help might come in the form of more sleep and a good meal. God might send you an angel like he did with Elijah, and your angel might come in the form of a family member, a form of a friend. It might come in the form of a pastor. It might come in the form of a doctor. It might come in the form of a medicine that you need. It might come in the form of new rhythms of what you watch and what you think about and what you pay attention to. But God's going to send you help. God's help might come to you in the form of other people. In fact, that's one of the main ways he's helped me. God's help might come with the whisper of a gentle encounter with God. I know that's occurred to me. Or it might be all three together at once, which is what happened with Elijah. What problem or problems do you need to bring to God in prayer right now to trust that he's near? God, we're bringing those problems to you now. In fact, I want to encourage you. I know this is tender, but if you've ever had the thought of, you know, I just want to be done. I think I should take my own life. I mean, Elijah prayed, God, would you take my life? If that's you, I want you to hear clearly that that's not God's will for your life. Wasn't God's will for Elijah's life either. And I want to encourage you to reach out. Tell someone else that you need help. You don't know what else to do, call 911 and get the help you need. Call the church office and we'll try to help you as well. Talk to those around you. You're not alone. Just like Elijah felt alone and he felt like this dark moment will last forever, he wasn't alone. God was with him. 7,000 others had been reserved. And that dark day wasn't what his entire future would be. So I want to encourage you to reach out for help. Maybe others of you, you would say, well, I'm not to that point, but I'm having some pretty dark days. I encourage you as well. Reach out to God and reach out to others and help. And God's help can come directly in the form of a whisper or maybe this message, but can also come through people that he sends into your life. Ask God to give you eyes to see his help. And God, I pray for anyone who's struggling to that level that you would deliver them and help them. And maybe others of us, you've brought your problems to God. But now, and I would say this is true for all of us, what do you need to thank God for? What do you need to rejoice for? What part of his good character? Or maybe someone he's put into your life? Or a simple promise that he's with you? Let's thank God now in prayer. So God, we thank you that we're not alone, that you're with us, that you'll never leave us, that you'll never forsake us. And Lord, if we need any sign of that, maybe the sign of that is the cross, the greatest sign of all, that you're for us. And so remind us of that now. In fact, on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus gathered his disciples and he took a loaf of bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body broken for you. Take of it and eat, all of you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. And what are we remembering? That we're not alone. That Christ, while we were still yet sinners, chose to die for us, that we could be made right with God and live in right fellowship with him forever. Likewise, after supper, he took a cup of the wine and he said, this is the cup of my blood shed for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you drink this, do this in remembrance of me. And again, what are we remembering? That we can't save ourselves. That we have to come to this table. In fact, if you've just made the decision to come to Jesus Christ, or maybe you placed your faith in him a while ago, you are welcome at this table. It is the table that Jesus Christ has set. And so, Lord, now I pray for all who are gathered. We ask you to help us remember you and all that you've done in dying for us so that we could be forgiven and made right with you. You can go ahead and take a bit of the bread, remembering what Christ has done. And likewise, you can take a bit of the cup, remembering what Christ has done. And so now, God, we pray. Having remembered you by the way you've commanded us to do it, might we now rejoice with you because of the amazing goodness of your character, that our darkest days will never be our last days because of how good you are and what you have done, both on the cross and forever, for us and for our salvation. And for that, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Find me faithful, ever faithful, and make this the goal of my life. Through blessings and sorrows, to the end I will follow. Make this the goal of my life. I fix my eyes on the prize, the author of my faith, my life. Help me keep looking straight ahead. And on this long and winding road I've strayed, I've traveled on my own. It's only in surrender I can stay upon this road that will someday lead me home. Find me faithful, ever faithful, and make this the goal of my life. Through all the blessings and all the sorrows, to the very end, Lord, I'm gonna follow. I make this the goal of my life. I make this the goal of my life. I make this the goal of my life.
So once again, I want to say thank you for being with us at this online service. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during the service, or maybe you would just like to know more about what it means to follow Christ, would you let us know so that we can have a pastor follow up with you? You can email us at the address below, or you can also go to the website that's listed below as well. And now, let me close this service with the following benediction that comes out of Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. See you next week, everyone.